The Truck and Driver podcast is sponsored by Fortune Tires, who manufacture high-quality, durable tires designed for operators who are looking for exceptional value across every application. Fortune Tires is proud to partner with International Tires, the exclusive distributor of their truck tires in the UK. For more info, visit internationaltires.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tires. Hello and welcome back to the Truck and Driver podcast. I'm your host, Doogie Rankin, and I am joined today by, well, of recent times, also the host of the podcast.
Matt Ireland.
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. Matt. You've been doing a fantastic job interviewing various figures within the haulage industry. Many interesting stories to tell our loyal listeners who knows what they're up to right now. I guess quite a lot of you will be pounding up and down the motorway, or perhaps you're lying relaxing in the bunk at night in the motorway services. Who knows? Maybe you're sitting on the toilet.
Hopefully not.
No, hopefully not. Yeah, maybe it's background noise to bedroom antics.
Don't want to think about that either, really.
On my YouTube channel, I've heard that a few times at shows. I've heard guys are at shows with their girlfriend, and they're, I know your voice, or I recognise your voice. I go to sleep at night a lot listening to your voice because he's lying in bed watching your videos on the phone and everyone. I'm like, that's nice, you know.
Yeah. Well, like I've said to a lot of people, I've got a face for podcasts, not YouTube.
You do? No, well, you used to do a bit of videoing, didn't you?
Yeah, I still do, just not very much, just because there's no real variety in my work at the moment, so I just sort of haven't really bothered doing much. For some time, it's a show. I have had a few people say that I should go back to Trans Am just so I can make some more videos, but that seems a bit of an extreme reason to go back, really.
I did have a go that I was out driving this week. I'm out the last 2 weeks, and I have videoed that. So I'm going to have a look at it and see how it's turned out. The video, a fair bit of it is showing what the performance of the truck is like, the Scania that I had, kind of showing what it does and the various systems in it. So rather than sort of a trucking adventure where it's more of a vlog. So I'll see how it comes out, kind of feeling my way with that at the moment. I know my podcast appearances have been sparse and my social media presence has been pretty minimal, but I would like to think from sort of this point onward that mentally and physically I'm in as good a place as I've been since probably the pandemic kicked in. So I'm going to try and say here that I am kind of back fully going forward, and I've decided I'm going to go back onto Facebook and I'm going to fully embrace all aspects of social media because there's such a big world of it out
there. Yes, yeah, and it doesn't have to be negative. It can be a very positive experience. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, went to Dover on a Sunday to photograph a lovely old Scania 111 that's been restored. And so photographing it and filming it, and I signed up to TikTok a year ago or so, I suppose, something like that. And I just created a little video on there, and it just seemed to go through the roof with that particular one. That just seemed so popular. I mean, it's an amazing truck. I've written an article about it, and I'm hoping that's going to appear sort of soon because it was one of my favourite trucks at the retro show. It was Andrew Child's Martin Trucks liveried Scania 111, and it's just... it's lovely. There's no other way of putting it, really.
Oh, yeah, that's a fantastic. Yeah, there's such a huge and vibrant world of trucks online, particularly about TikTok's a massive, massive thing. There's so many people being really successful on TikTok and lots of interesting content that you can just dip into on that. You know, it only takes a few seconds to dip in and dip out. The whole world of trucks and transport is all based around Facebook and everything. And I sort of voluntarily took myself off that. I haven't really posted anything on Facebook for a long time, but I feel now, I feel like I am back, and I want to get back into all that and enjoy it and go and catch up with all the people that I don't hear from and see so much. So I'm in a pretty good mood, and a lot of it came about from, well, I've pushed myself to get out driving a lot more. Yeah, you ever had that sort of your period, I guess people listening would do as well, where you've kind of found that you've just lost your kind of mojo with things. You know, the stuff that you once enjoyed, you don't particularly have that much interest. It doesn't excite you anymore. And it kind of got like that for me with both lorries and cars. And that's kind of defines my entire life. That's everything that I do. And I was kind of, but it was just doing things purely from a work aspect rather than an enjoyment aspect. And as we all know, like lorries, transport, trucking, it's not just a job. It goes way, it can be just a job for a lot of people, but for a lot of us, it goes way beyond that. And it is kind of a definition of your life.
Yeah.
And things, but yeah, definitely it felt, yeah, like a greyness, like the colour had gone from the world, and you could argue, you know, that is pretty much what depression is. When people think of depression as being sad and being unhappy, I would say for a lot of people it's not. It is more when you just don't feel anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's varying sort of degrees of it, and it's, you know, I mean, we could speak for hours about it, but weirdly, I actually got asked to record a video on drivers' mental health over this weekend, because there's a webinar happening on Tuesday, I think it is, all about drivers' mental health and well-being, basically. So I was sort of, my name was sort of suggested, and all of a sudden it was on the topics. Well, I'm actually doing a course on Tuesday, so I wouldn't have been able to take part. So they asked me to record a short video for it. So, I did a course on mental health first aid a couple of years ago, and the figures are staggering and shocking and scary. And it's, and as I said in this video I recorded, it is going to get a little bit better nowadays, I believe, because there's more women coming into the industry. Women aren't as afraid to talk as men, in my opinion. They will talk with each other, you know, whether they're good or bad, whereas men just will not talk. And it's something that desperately needs addressing. And also, you know, as we're all aware, the average age of a truck driver now, I think, is 57. Well, people of that age, if you say the words mental health to them, they just focus on the word mental. And I've had that. I know a chap who was having a real tough time, and I just sort of, you know, reached out and sent him a few messages, and I just mentioned, you know, about mental health, and he got really offended, thinking I was calling him mental.
Yes.
It's like, no, I'm not, you know, it's just, that's the way they've been brought up, and they can't comprehend that, you know, you've got physical health and your actual mental health. So, yeah, we and I remember Chris talking about this ages ago, with when that poor young lad took his own life, you know, and people just need to talk more, especially this time of year when it's darker nights, you know, that you're not getting as much sunlight, the roads are grimy and crap, and everything stacks up a bit more in the winter time. So it's now you just need to try and keep an eye out on people a little bit more, I think.
Yeah. The pandemic had a fundamental effect on a lot of people. For me, like, especially, I feel like I functioned over the sort of past 4 years, and it's crazy to think that strangely, the way I'm bookending this is, it was when Biden took power in America into now Trump getting back in again, and it's absolutely nothing to do with either of those two things.
Yeah,
but that's just the two time periods. I noticed it was an American presidential cycle with the pandemic, and I've never really felt that I've quite been the same, even at the And what you find with depression and mental health is you, if something goes on for a long while, if you imagine yourself on a sort of, if you're on a graph and you normal is sort of running halfway along the graph, if you become depressed, you can sink below that level and continually be below there for a long time until that becomes the norm. And you'll have little bits where you might have a little peak and you feel a little better about yourself, but you're not, it's a curious thing without being like waking up in the morning and being like, oh God, I'm so sad. I'm just so miserable. You just don't want to talk to people. You just don't want to take interest in so many different things which you used to take interest in. So I took a few steps to start to alter that and try and change things. There's a lot you can do in your lifestyle sort of to change and improve things mentally. But it is difficult trying to like establish routines and try and like tick off tasks and take things one little step at a time. And I say that's the sort of best way to go about things. And I think mental health for drivers, it's a million times better than it was a few years ago. You've got like Andy's Man Club out there now. And of course, in Ireland, you had the Breaker show and the whole movement around that. So things have been improved enormously in that respect. And going forward, I feel like for myself, I'm beginning to see like a light at the end of a tunnel. And it might be surprising for people to listen to this, or maybe it wouldn't have been if they'd known me like for a long time. I feel things are improving now and I feel better, and I've put a few things in place to get my mojo back.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this time of year, it does get difficult to do that as well.
The dark weather's something else. It's this time of year. But one of the most important things for me has been getting back into driving regularly. When I was driving and freelancing, back when was that? 2018, I got the job on Truck and Driver. And then 2019 was just a complete whirlwind with getting the magazine redesigned. And it just flew in so quickly. And then we had the pandemic, because I still had the Foden at the time during 2020. And I've been busy getting back out driving, which I have been enjoying, because that's why I got into trucks in the first place, is for the love of driving them. That's what I like to do more than anything else. And I think that's one of the big keys to success in driving and being a truck driver. If you're listening to this and you're thinking about maybe wanting to be a truck driver, I would say to you, do you enjoy driving?
Yes,
because there are some people that drive lorries and they don't like driving, and it's like you're never really going to be particularly happy about that. What were your earliest memories of sort of driving, of being aware of it when you were like a little kid? Were you out in lorries when you were a little boy?
No, I wasn't. But weirdly, one of the earliest memories I've got, we were, as a family, going somewhere or coming back from somewhere, and it was quite late at night, or at least it was dark. And I think we had a Mark II Escort Estate. We had a couple of them. And I just remember looking at the dashboard. This dashboard was like illuminated, you know, like the greeny lights of the dashboard. Mm. And there was just like this big square blue light in the dashboard because they had full beam on. And I was just fascinated by that light. I don't know why. I seem to remember asking about it, because if people don't know, my family aren't a transport company whatsoever. Like, my dad was an RSPB warden, so you couldn't get much further removed, really. But there was a guy who lived down our road, I think, who used to be a truck driver, and my older brother would go with him, and that's where the sort of fascination came from, because he was into them, so then I got into them. But it's funny, because I did my ADR course this week, and as I said, the average age is quite old these days. So I was the youngest on the course, and as usual, the discussions happen. And somebody said, would you recommend your friends or family, children, whatever, to go truck driving? And like most of them all said, no, stuff that. And I said, no, I would. I'll definitely advise it because I've had an amazing time. But I would say there are a lot of pitfalls, and it's not the most perfect job, and it is hard work, and it can be very lonely, et cetera, et cetera. But I would definitely recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, it's to say that, to recommend driving, it's such a broad term. I just want to mention before we go on from that, you mentioned the blue light on the dash for the full beams.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got a memory of being exactly the same as that with my dad's Chrysler Alpine. Wow. And I was fascinated by that blue light when he would put it on and switch it off when I was in the back seat. And I was like, blue light, and he'd be putting it on. And for whatever reason, I remember my mum and dad saying something like, it's a simple thing, isn't it, that he's so fascinated with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I moved on from, I had one of those Tomy turbo dashboards with a little steering wheel and the gear stick and indicators.
Yeah, yeah.
Used to take that in the car and sit in the back seat and pretend that I was driving while my dad was driving.
Yeah.
And it all went on from there. But when you're talking about, when you say, no, I wouldn't recommend driving sort of at all to somebody who's not from like a haulage or a transport family or got a background, well, driving's such a vague term for all of that. You can be a driver of a truck where it's only part of your job, where you're operating a crane or jetting equipment. And these can be really technical jobs that there's such an immense variety of work that you can do. And you could be out doing multi-drop jobs on a regular run where you're in contact with dozens of people every day and conversing with them, so which is the exact opposite of doing your long haul where you're not speaking to people for long periods of time and you're just on your own. It's the same as employers can't get people who want to work, and this comes up in podcasts. In the podcast a lot, and it comes up a lot when I'm out talking to people and interviewing them. I speak to people who say, I've got 3 lorries, I could get 10 lorries, but the only reason why I don't is because I can't get the drivers for them. And you speak to young drivers, it's like, well, do none of your friends want to do this? It's like, no, none of my friends are interested in it at all. It's only me. And you can absolutely make a very good living out of it, same as mechanics, same as any other kind of trades. There's such a wide scope and variety. My nephew he's 12, and he's talking about what he wants to be when he leaves school, and he was talking about wanting to be a mechanic, and he was talking about wanting to learn to drive lorries as well. And I said, well, what you want to do is if you want to drive lorries, go and get an apprenticeship in something first. So you've got something alternative to fall back on if you don't like it, and then go out, get your lorry licences, see how you like it, and it can cross over into other things as well. If you went to be a mechanic, what kind of mechanic do you want to be? You could be a plant mechanic working on excavators, you could work on trucks, you could work on cars, and that can cross over into trucks as well, because you could be driving the trucks that transports the equipment about.
Yeah,
and you could move on to fixing and working on them as well. So they're just learning to drive a truck it is what you make it and what your overall capabilities are. I think is as much as whatever you put into it, then that's what you can potentially get out. If you want sort of an easier life of just, start in the morning, go home at night, do the same run every day, that suits people fine. Yeah. And that option's available to you. As a young person, that having the opportunity to explore the country and perhaps Europe and beyond, you've got the opportunity to explore the world. If you've got an HGV license, New Zealand, Australia awaits you, Canada potentially as well. There's so much to all of it. I was thinking this week as well about, I had a footballing analogy about drivers, and I was thinking, like, drivers are kind of like football players.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, what kind of driver would I consider myself to be? Because you've got right at the top level, you've got your Premier League, your Champions League drivers, your Messi's and Ronaldo's of drivers. These are the guys that drive. They thread the needle with gargantuan megaloads, things like that. They drive road trains through the outback, and they drive up through Yellowknife in Alaska on the ice roads, doing the toughest work in the toughest conditions. Their guys are kind of like the elite, and then right down at the bottom. But in the middle, you've got an awful lot of sort of, you know, Championship, League One, League Two level drivers who are, you know, capable, responsible, thoughtful guys. And right down at the bottom, you've got your pub team guys. They're the ones who get in a lorry with the sort of muddy, greasy boots on and stomp all over the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, walk all over the centre mat. Yeah.
Walk all over the centre mat of things. And I was thinking to myself, of all the work and the various things I've done over the years and the type of driver that I am, because you get drivers who, you get your captain slows out there who may not necessarily always get as much work done as other people, but they'll be safe and responsible, and you know that they're always going to be reliable. And then at the other end, you've got, you know, Roger Ramjet, who might get a load of extra loads done in the week, but his lorry will be falling to bits after a couple of years. And it's like, who's better there than the other in certain respects? And I was having since my brain has pretty much been sort of idling and not really working that great for quite a while, I've been going into sort of internal monologue, thinking about crap like that, overdrive, over the past couple of weeks. And when I've been driving, and I was thinking, how do you honestly rate yourself as a driver? And I was thinking to myself, well, what have I done over the years? And I thought, well, I would say that I am a comfortable, let's say, if you've got Champions League, Premier League, Championships, I'd say I'm a Championship level driver.
But then you could argue like the Premiership level type people, they might be there, but they might not be particularly great at the job. And I found that with teaching people, you'll talk to people, especially when you're doing driver CPC, they'll go, oh, this is a waste of time, blah, blah, blah. I've been doing this job 40 years, et cetera, et cetera. Doesn't mean you've been doing it right. Yeah. Quite often they've been doing it wrong for an awful long time, you know. But I was curious as to when you started saying about the drivers at the top were doing like the big mega loads and whatnot. I was wondering whether you were going to talk yourself into a bit of a cul-de-sac as to who the worst drivers were, whether it be Bartley Drop or Tippers or...
Well, there's also another side to that, because if you've got a driver who has done the same Class 2 run and an 18-tonner for 20 years and always got good fuel economy, never had an accident, is much loved by our customers, never had a day off, then in theory, then they're just as valuable as the guys who are doing the other stuff. So it's by no means a perfect analogy. It's just a bit of fun and something to have a think about, like sort of driver league tables.
Yeah, I mean, if it can make you think about your overall job performance as such and whether you could improve or not, I think it's a great thing. And I mean, like, I know MDF, who I've talked about before, who I've done a bit of work for, it's virtually all Volvo fleet. They've all got Dynafleet, and Mark very cleverly has created it almost like a bit of a competition between the drivers who can get the highest driver score. So they're driving sort of to the best of their abilities, which means that they're not wasting fuel and they're driving carefully and considerably and so on and so forth. And it's just, it's kind of win-win, really. So it's a great way to be, I think.
It's a good, the driver score systems in trucks, I feel, have improved a lot. And I've noticed that over the past few weeks. So I've driven Renault, Volvo, DAF and Scania, and they've all got the driver tips and the coaching. And in the past, you would tend to find that these things would solely favour economy. Yeah. And then, as we all know, a lot of jobs, the prime consideration is not ultimate fuel economy, because you need to get jobs done and we're racing against the clock. the tachograph a lot of the time, and you can find there were fleets who were, you know, there were drivers who were more productive who would be penalised against the ones who were potentially skiving by trundling in at 46 miles an hour to avoid getting the extra load. And but also,
if you've got like an out of gauge load where you know you can do your best, but you're not going to get very fuel efficient because it's just, you know, it could be a horrendous shape, so you're just going to be fighting, you know, the wind resistance compared with a close coupled, say, box fan or curtain side that's aimed at aerodynamics. So I don't think that the Dynafleet system doesn't actually come in, doesn't have fuel efficiency into it as such.
There's an efficient way of driving. If you drive the truck correct in the most efficient manner, then you will optimize the fuel economy, whatever the work is that you are doing. So even if you've got to go hard, I noticed it was interesting. I had a Scania 468R last week, a truck which I'd had before, but this is a higher specification one, and I really like that 460R engine. But the driver coaching on that would score you on your anticipation as to how you work the throttle, rolling over hills, rolling down hills, coming up to junctions and everything. The various ways that you could influence fuel inputs into the truck while not also being obsessed with economy. And I found that I was able to increase the score on that while also getting a move on and getting a shift on, while also minimising sort of wear and tear in the vehicle, because I was able to make really good use of momentum, letting it roll down hills, and when to use, like, optimal use of the engine brake, and sort of working out on slopes and run-ups to roundabouts and things like that. I was able to work out when I wouldn't need to touch the throttle at all and just engine brake it, let it roll on. And I wasn't losing any time, but I was making the truck work more efficiently. Yeah. And that was rewarding to get a better score out of that, because it wasn't just marking you down constantly for getting a move on, as some of the older systems would.
Yeah. I mean, the older DAF system always seemed to bemuse. You do your absolute best. You know, you wouldn't touch the brakes, just engine brake and blah, blah, blah. And you wouldn't get anything. And then you do another manoeuvre and you actually use the brakes a bit, and you think, oh, that's no good. And they'll give you five stars or whatever. Very flawed.
Yeah, there would be moments when you would be driving along and somebody would pull out right in front of you, so you would have to, like, slam the brakes on, and then it would just take, like, a whole load of points off you. And you'd be like, right, that's it, I've had enough. It's not fair. I'm not doing it anymore. The Scania said, the trucks now... That they read the road in front of them. They know what's going on. It's especially good and impressive if you've got one with predictive cruise control, where it's monitoring the topography and learning the roads.
Yeah.
So if you're doing the same run, the truck will learn and it will optimise its gear shifting.
Right.
Obviously, you can interject with a manual shift, but I've noticed it on all of them recently. You go along one section where there's some steep hills and it'll maybe get itself a bit bogged down. And then the next time you go along it, you're like, oh, wait a minute, it's held the gear here. We're going to go right along here at sort of 1400, 1500 RPM and carry our momentum through that. And the truck has learned that is the most optimised way to get through that section. And I find that pretty interesting and impressive how the trucks are able to do that. And they will also respond to what you've done as well. With the Scania, I knocked it down a gear at the bottom of a couple of hills after letting it roll down and carry momentum, and it was giving me like five stars because I was keeping the thing sort of on the boil. Yeah. And I was keeping it singing, and I was like, whoa, a truck's giving me a mark up because I've preempted a downshift on it. I enjoyed that, I must say.
For Broughton's, was it?
No, that was for Shuttleworth. I have been back out for Broughton's.
The tankers.
it's been really good for me. I started having a go in the milk tankers back in May, which is a new thing for me, and you've got to devote a bit You've got to commit a bit to it because there's stuff you need to know about the equipment.
Oh,
and
yeah.
there's stuff you need to know about the places that you're going as
and
well.
Also your driving technique because
yes.
a milk tanker, if people don't know who listen to this, a milk tanker can't have baffles in it because if you did, then you wouldn't have milk when you got to the other end. You'd have a load of cheese. So that's going to take a particularly different skill and mindset to driving, isn't it?
I went and spent a day with Joe Ashton, who's on Team Trucking Driver, and he'll be back on the podcast soon. And I went out with him. He drives for Shuttleworth for a bit just to, so he could give me some tips as to how the tanker was going to behave. And it does give you a different style of driving, and it does make you think ahead more. And obviously, whereas when you pull up to a junction and stop, then you do feel it going, can feel the cab rocking. There was one day where I did an entire day loaded. I didn't have any empty running.
Yeah.
And then I parked up for the night, lay down in bed, and I could still feel it. I can still feel the movement of the gentle movement of the truck rocking back and forth. even though it wasn't, I could still feel it. But that's a different manner of driving. You need to be kind of switched on with that and be mindful and sort of thinking ahead because obviously you can do emergency if you've got to go and come to a hard stop. For whatever reason, then you do come to a stop, and then you're like 1, 2, 3, boom! Is everything that's sloshed to the front has gone to the back, and now it's coming to the front again.
Yeah,
but very enjoyable. It was good to get back out and do something different. And since then, I had the old manual DAF for a week, then I had the Renault turbo compound for a week. The DAF XF480, the new shape, which was very good, very impressed with it, with the new XF for a week. And now I've had the Scania 460R. So I'm in the process of testing for a full week, doing a full week's work and at least one example of each manufacturer's truck specified pretty much as to what you would take for this sort of job. The next one that I've got happens to be another Scania because I've got the opportunity of it before Christmas, which is the 560S Tag, which will be interesting because that's a high output 13 litre. I've had that before at Broughton's. And then I'm looking to get the Iveco 490S way, which is the fuel. That's quite fuel orientated, but also it's a 490, so it's got should have a decent bit of performance about it there. I think they'll be well geared for that job. And I've got the Volvo Aero 460 turbo compound in January. Now, the difference between that one and the one that I had before is this doesn't have the fuel package with the buttons on the dash. So this has got the lever on the seat. So the gear box is unlocked. It means I can legitimately manually downshift it. The fuel package ones aren't ideal for steep hills in Devon at 44 tonnes. You would want the one that I'm getting with a lever on the seat. So because I'm running them all quite closely together and in a level of intensity that I've never done before, I'm really getting quite into the nuances and the differences between each of the trucks. And yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out with that Volvo. I need to get hold of an MAN TGX. Ideally, that would be, I think it's 470/480. I think it's 480 now, or a 520, and I need a Mercedes-Benz Actros of some sort. I might go through the dealer network for that, because I'm not sure MAN or Mercedes would have demonstrators available for that. But what I'm looking to do is put together a whole series of nigh on 2,000 mile in-depth working tests on these trucks running from Sunday through to Friday / Saturday. And I haven't found a better test for a truck than the tankers and the terrain that they're on. There's a lot of running through Wales, through Devon, through Somerset, up in Yorkshire, Scotland. Yeah. So there's some real hills and challenging terrain, which lets you... That's... that's where you'll really see if a truck's got any particular little shortcomings to it. And it can be, there can be little things that you really find are like a big benefit to you, such as, you know, having a couple of decent storage drawers in the middle, like the Scania 460 had.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'll find things that you really like and little glitchy, annoying things. But to be honest, most of the, all the annoying things that I find in trucks are things that the truck manufacturers haven't designed themselves as such. It's things that they've been forced to install by the EU in the name of safety, or by DVS in London. So
yeah.
From, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but for the 2024 trucks, they've got the speed limit warnings in them now.
Right.
They're supposed to read the speed limits ahead in the road, and they've also got some sort of GPS capability. And what it means is it will beep at you every time you go over the speed limit.
Right.
You might think, fair enough, but the speed limits are all wrong. So between that and what they've done, the lane departure warning is no longer a button on the dash. It's now hidden in a menu, which you've got to get into through one of the screens, with a few buttons, and you've got to switch it off every time you start the truck up. And if you do not have lane departure warning switched off, you do not have the speed warning switched off at the when you go out driving down twisting A roads and B roads, the truck will beep at you constantly.
Yeah.
It is distracting and stressful. And we have got eyes, we know what speed limits are. So that's a new thing. So if you've got a brand new truck or you've got one on the way, you need to know about that, and you need to have a little read into it, because they've all got the side scan sensors now as well. So they will detect vehicles coming up alongside you.
Yeah.
So every time you put the indicator on and there's something alongside you that's maybe just passing, it will beep to warn you.
Right.
Which is, you do get used to it after a while, but when I had that Scania last week, 2023, it didn't have the speed limit warnings, and it didn't have the proximity warnings on the side, and it didn't have a left-hand indicator that's shouted to the rooftops that it was turning left. And I was, oh, this is quite liberating. There's a lot more technology on the way. Most of it designed to beep at you and tell you that you're doing something wrong, or to shout at pedestrians who will probably just ignore it anyway.
Yeah, because they've got the headphones on.
Yeah, or they're just so used to the cacophony of noise that you get in urban environments that they're still going to walk out in front of it anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's some of it seems like technology for technology's sake. It's a great idea having it flash up and telling you what the speed limit is. But like you say, we've got eyes, and
it's ridiculous.
And ultimately, there's an awful lot of people that just don't really care what the speed limit is. They're quite prepared to take that risk, which is bad driving at the end of the day. But you're never going to get rid of that.
Well, the thing is as well, in Scotland, it's 40 miles an hour for trucks on single carriageway roads and 50 on dual carriageways. Nobody does 40 in Scotland anywhere.
Yeah.
Nobody, apart from the supermarket trucks.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Nobody wants you to do 40. Car drivers don't want you to do 40. You'll end up with a massive queue behind you. But as it stands anyway, the speed limits seem... I've tried a few different trucks with this in it now, and the speed limits are all over the place. I don't know what they think that what they think it's reading. If it's trying to read signs, it is reading signs as it goes along the road, and it also must have some sort of GPS to know the speed limits as well. And it's all, yeah, it's just something else that beeps and boops at you.
Yeah. Is the A9 not a...
That's 50 in Scotland. Right. It's the only road.
Still a trial?
Yeah, it's still a trial. Yeah. The SNP just don't want to change it to be in line with the rest of the UK, just so Scotland's different and they can be awkward.
It's got nothing to do with money and, you know, financial reasons at all.
No, definitely not. Well, that's the thing as well, because you've got to watch on the A90 between Dundee and Perth.
Yeah,
that's a section of dual carriageway. Dual carriageway, everybody's going to be going on the limiter. But they put speed camera vans on that road, and trucks are only supposed to go 50 on it.
Yeah.
So you can get done You've got a decent truck, if you've got a truck doing a good 56 miles an hour, you can get done for that. You can get done for doing 56 miles an hour on an empty dual carriageway in Scotland.
It's ridiculous.
I noticed in the news this week, the SNP government are not going, the more road projects not being done. The A96 between Aberdeen and Inverness is not going to be dualled.
Right.
The population has increased a lot in the north of Scotland. That road is incredibly busy. It needs to be dualled.
Yep.
And the reason given is because the Green Party in Scotland has a ridiculous amount of power, even though very few people voted for them, because there's this list system whereby you can number votes on a list. And basically, people with a few thousand votes are wielding enormous power because they're in a coalition with the SNP. And apparently, they crushed this A96 project. The reason being, they said the emissions from constructing it are too great. And I was like, do you realise the amount of emissions that are created by putting in these wind farms on the, these Scottish hillsides, because you've got to build all the access roads from scratch? I think they think that these wind turbines are just plopped into the ground like darts.
They grow like trees, don't they?
That's it, they just appear. You have to build access roads from scratch using billions of tons of type 1 and other materials, billions of litres of diesel to get all these things in. There's a controversial project happening at the moment where they want to build a substation the size of 35 football pitches near to Loch Ness in a historic beauty area because of the power from all these wind turbines. So that's going to be lovely for the environment as well, that being plonked on a hillside. So that's what they said. It's because we're not dueling the A96 because of emissions, even though it takes the same, if not more, emissions to go and put these wind farms in. Not without wanting to get too political at this point, but with that party list system, the Scottish elections coming up next year, and what you've seen with the Greens is that not very many votes got them a lot of power.
Right.
And I think they're going to be in for a very nasty surprise, because the system that they have loved so much and has been to their advantage is about to severely backfire on them, because I suspect that that same system is going to give Reform a lot of seats, and they're not going to like that at all.
Yeah.
Because people in Scotland won't vote for the Conservatives in any great number, but Reform are just something completely left field, and as a protest vote, I could see something happening there. And to be honest with you, I'll happily vote for anybody that says they're going to improve our road network and safeguard our oil and gas industry as well. But that's a conversation for another time.
Another time, another podcast.
Yes, indeed. So now, you'd mentioned to me, I don't know if you said, if it was just before you went on, did you say to finish off for this week, you had been and done your ADR course?
Yes. So last week, or this week just gone, I've just sat my ADR and tanks extension. So passed all of that, and also got myself 4 days worth of CPC for the next lot. And then on...
You got 4 days out of that?
4 days, yep. Yeah, because
who'd you do that with?
So I do it with Martin's Driver Training in Norwich, who is also who I do a bit of work for on the teaching and the training.
Did you do that in person in a classroom?
Yes. Yes, I
right.
did.
Right. Oh, so, cool. Right. Now, I want to go and do my ADR because I get my ADR. I didn't do tankers the last time, but I think I will do tankers this
time. Definitely worth doing.
Yes. I had it before.
And like I say, it's an extra day CPC. So if you're there doing a week's course, you might as well add an extra day on, you know, because your week's kind of gone anyway. So
yeah.
So why not?
Yeah, I can go and get... Yeah, I would like to... I'll speak to you off podcast about that, but I would like to go and get that organised, because the other course I was going to do was the MPQC card for the tippers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, formerly known as an Epic card.
Yeah, so by doing those two sets of courses, I will get 35 hours of CPC. And
something to show for it.
Yeah, I will have two qualifications certifications off the back of that. So I'm going to go and organise. How did you get on with it? I find it's quite an enjoyable course, really.
Especially
if it's not the first time you've done it. It's nice to revisit it, and it all comes back pretty quick.
Yeah, that's right. It does, and because I've got an interest in it, because I'm actually now certified to teach it, which is nice, although I was actually just a student on it. I could have just sat the exams, but I wanted to sit the whole course to just see, because the current ADR instructor there, Tim, is a great guy, loads of experience, and I knew it would be an enjoyable week sitting there, you know, with him and the others. So, we did all of that. I've also got my Class 7 next week, and then the week after I'm back at Martin's for my Class Category 1, so which is explosive. So then...
Is that not something that is rarely taught? Because there's always the two classes in ADR which aren't taught, is explosives and radioactives.
Yes, yeah, they are seldom taught because they are really quite a niche sort of market. So I'm also now certified to teach Class 7, the radioactives, and Tim is certified for the explosives because he's got a long military history dealing with all that sort of thing. So, but yeah, it's something that Martins have often been asked to teach, but they've never had anybody to do it, or there's never really been quite enough people. So it's not a regular thing, but it will come up if there's enough people wanting to book and do it. It will happen. But both of them classes, you won't get a day CPC out of them because they're just not certified. Day, which is a shame. Yeah, they're not. So, which is a bit of a shame, but it is just another interesting little course to do, really. But obviously, if you're never going to use it, there's no point doing it especially if you're not going to gain any CPC out of it. So whereas with tankers, let's say you'll get another day, and it's definitely worth doing, I think. And again, it teaches you, like say you're working with Shuttleworths, it teaches you about all the different types of tanker that are on the road. I know obviously Shuttleworths are food grade, but what did surprise me was it's not actually against any legislation to load ADR in a tanker and then load food grade stuffs, which did surprise me. I would have thought they would have just said, no, you can't do that at all. But as long as it's been washed and purged, it's perfectly acceptable. But whether they would actually load you the other end if you turned up and you'd had a load of toxics on or something.
Because all the trucks have got wash books with them, which is a record of it, and they are all washed in between loads. Which is always kept carefully monitored. You only get like 24 hours after it's been washed before it needs to be washed again before you can use it. So it's all tracked in that respect. And you know, food tankers tend to just stick with food tankers. There are so many different types of tanker on the road. I mean, going back to when we were talking earlier in the podcast about driving and being a driver, there's another sector which can be very specialised, which is certain tanker jobs where the driver's involved in getting the stuff in and out of the tank. And of course, a lot of this stuff can be really nasty as well. If you ever see those tankers going along and it looks like it's got bits of the guardrail from the motorway central reservation stuck to the side of it, you know that's got something interesting in it.
Absolutely, yeah.
To protect it when it goes over on its sides.
Yeah.
And of course, like, once you've got your ADR, you can then start reading the orange plates and we're trying to work out what's inside it.
Absolutely, yeah. But again, with this day and age, you know, there's an app, the ADR app, and the one I've got, you just look for that UN number, which is on every single sort of hazard warning panel or ADR placard, and plumb that into the app, and it will tell you exactly what it is. And then you look and think, cool, I don't want to... Don't want that to be spilling. I've always found it interesting, just because I'm sad, I suppose. But going back to what we were saying about really sort of at the start about you know, your nephew want to get a trade and so on and so forth. I mean, obviously, when I got in a drive and I left school with, I don't even know if I've got any GCSEs because I didn't even bother to go and find the results because all I want to do is drive a truck. So I didn't do sick form, I went to college eventually to do a level two, MVQ, that's the one, MVQ level two in organising road transport operations. But as I've sort of been in the industry for longer and longer and once I became a scuba dive instructor, I realised how much I enjoyed teaching people, and that sort of led me down the path of driver training as well. And so I've kind of got quite into that because I'm thinking, well, if I do lose my licence for whatever reason, I can fall back on the training. Or even if I do get fed up with the driving, which luckily hasn't happened yet, but you know, if I lost it for medical reasons or whatever, or just want to sort of come off the road, I can go into the teaching side of things. And it's it's another string to your bow. And also, if I can mix it up, have a week away from the wheel teaching people, and then when you get back behind the wheel, you're a bit more refreshed rather than thinking, oh, I've got to go and do this, you know, week in, week out sort of thing. So it's I would say to, you know, if people are sort of that way inclined and are quite happy sort of with teaching as such, it's definitely worth looking into because it is very enjoyable. And I'm sure most people listening to this, I'd like to think, have been on a CPC course where they've actually had quite a good laugh, despite the fact that they don't want to be there, et cetera, et cetera. I dare say there's always somebody in that classroom that's a bit of a joker and always got a good story or two. And so if you're in that environment regularly, it's just a nice place to be.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I've been on quite a few good CPC courses, and it's usually a relief when you know that you've got a good teacher and it's going to be like a good day, a good day with stuff. And drivers will tend to respond well to that as well, because they know that it's not going to be 7 hours of boredom going through your driver's hours again. Yeah. It was interesting now with the digital dashes and all the modern trucks. It tells you everything about your driver's hours as well. It tells you your 3 week. Your 3 week period, it tells you how many nines you've got, tens you've got left, everything the systems and the new trucks have got. So you can't really go wrong with driver's hours in a lot of ways with these modern trucks, because it's telling you, you don't have to work it out anymore. It's telling you right there in front of you.
Yeah, which makes such a difference.
Not that I'm saying that there shouldn't be a driver's hours course for it, but I think it's something that should be done initial CPC and then just touched upon from there on, rather than having it as a 7-hour course every 5 years, which some people seem to be forced to do.
Yeah, but also as well, as I'm sure you're aware, you know, people coming into a CPC course soon figure out if that instructor has got no experience, it becomes very obvious very, very quickly. I mean, like when the CPC first came out, the course I've said this before on here or not, but the guy was trying to tell us about load security and he tried to show us how to use a ratchet strap and he couldn't figure it out and he couldn't thread it. So in the end, my mate got up and thread it for him and put it on the desk. And he went and sat down. And the guy said, well, I've only ever dealt with containers. I've never had to deal with ratchet straps. And so obviously we're all sat there thinking, we've got to sit and listen to you. You don't know what you're talking about, but we've got to listen to you so we can keep our license. And it's insulting, isn't it? So,
drivers will, drivers can smell bullshit from like a mile off and yeah. And suss you out very quickly.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Very quickly in that respect. All right, we're cracking on for an hour now on the podcast, so I think we'll be wrapping this one up. Thanks for listening, guys. That was a bit of a random segue that I went into it there regarding my overall well-being and condition over the last few years. But to be honest with you,
it's good to talk, Dougie. That's the main thing.
I feel good enough now to say that I have bookended a period which of life, which I would not look back on with a great deal of fondness. There was some decent moments through it. I've remained functional throughout it. And I came out. Yeah. I have come out the other end, and I am now looking forward to really pushing on with a lot of exciting projects with Truck and Drive on 2025. Excellent. Lots to do with the podcast and lots of different lorries to get out there driving as well. And as we always say, if you're struggling, you know, if you're not feeling so great, talk to your mates, tell people, always be happy to go and help you.
Yeah,
help absolutely. You out with stuff as well.
And like we said, you've got the Breaker. Was it Andy's Man Club?
Andy's Man Club, yeah. Hello. There's all sorts of different, you've got all the different groups and things. You're quite like a private person. You know, you can go into these things sort of anonymously. You can confide in people, you know. You can confide in it. You can confide in us if you're struggling with things. You can always feel free to give us a shout here at the podcast. In fact, there's a thing I actually need to do. I'm going to write that down as set up email address for Truck and Driver Podcast specifically.
Yeah. Fair enough. But yeah, just don't suffer in silence. Just message somebody, even if it's me and you don't know me. You can find me on social media. Just send me a message and I'll have a bit of a chat. I don't mind. I'll soon bore you to tears.
There you go. Can't say any further than that.
No, exactly.
But we'll be back. So who are you back on next with on the podcast?
So the next one, I've got a few lined up to record. Just depends on timings and things like that. But young Mr. Bootles, unfortunately, we recorded one, but the audio quality was terrible. So we're going to have to redo his and hear about his new job.
Oh, cool. Fantastic. Oh, really happy Andy getting on. Yep, that's good. Yeah, he'll be excited about his new job.
Excellent. And I should utilize this time and say, Mr. Madison, I did message you and you haven't replied.
I've been messaging and contacting a lot of people over the sort of course of the last week as I draw myself back into everything sort of fully. Yeah, I have spoken to him.
So we shall see. But yeah, I've got a few interesting guests lined up, so hopefully should be good fun.
Yeah, lots of content to come your way on the Truck and Driver Podcast. Please, what's the thing that you do with podcasts again? Yeah, go
subscribe, rate it,
and subscribe to it, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Right, thank you very much, Matt. I will be catching up with you again soon. Take care, everyone.
Lovely. Cheers, Dougie. Speak to you soon.
Catch you later. Bye-bye.
Tell
you,
mate.
Bye. Thanks for listening to the Truck and Driver Podcast, sponsored by Fortune Tyres. Fortune Tyres and International Tyres, bringing you innovation and reliability to support your operation. Learn more at internationaltyres.com/fortune or call 0121 552 6888. Drive forward with Fortune Tyres.